come share a little bit with us now. We want you to be ready for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Let me ask you to do this. Stand up just for a second. Stand up just for a second. Kind of stretch a little bit. And thank you. You can be seated. One of the things that I hope that we never do, I don't want us to get, Calvary loves music. I love music. And I think that Jimmy and Rita and the gang would feel the same way. We love music, but that's not going to cause us to hurry the gospel, you know, because they sing it to us. Now he's going to tell it to us in word this way. So give your attention to Brother T.D. Would you make him welcome, please, at Calvary, Brother T.D. Burgess.
While they were singing at the cross, I haven't gotten over the fact that Christ loved me. He gave his life for me. I haven't gotten over that yet. I got saved when I was 12, but he's sweeter today than it's ever been. In my early ministry, I've been thinking about this for several days. I was working with a pastor, associate pastor, and he'd say to me, "Son, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to be Spirit-filled." One week, pastor was gone, and I preached for him Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I don't know, I just felt something missing in my heart. I knew I was saved. I knew I was in the will of God. I knew that. And Joy was working at that time, right after we got married and all. And after I got her off to work, we had a place on, if nobody got saved on a Sunday morning, we had a place where we'd go up there and pray. And that's where the pastor and I would go and pray. And we'd go up there on Sunday afternoon. Nobody got saved that morning. And then we'd go out and knock on doors. And there was a greater burden in those days for people to get saved than are today. And I prayed. I guess I got there around 8:30 or so. And I prayed. I cried. I prayed. I cried. I'm not talking about a second working of grace. But about somewhere between 1:30 and 2 o'clock, God filled my heart. I stood there, I wept, I cried. And while I was standing there, God laid this couple on my mind. I ran up the hill and got in the car and went to 4th Avenue in Natal, Alabama. Knocked on the door and a man came to the door. His last name was Clay. When he saw me, he started crying. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Preacher, we've been praying all morning somebody come by here and tell us how to get saved." Amen. And I had the privilege of leading he and his wife and two boys to the Lord. I found out that day, Brother Snyder, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, then I'll win people to Christ. Jesus said, "Tarry until you be endued with the power from on high." So this week, I went back to that place in my mind, asking, that the power of the Holy Ghost of God would just take charge of my life. I left that house, and on the way to the car, we had a lady in our church. Her husband walked off, left a couple kids, and she stayed with her mother. I never went in the house, just where there's one lady. Got knocked on the door, and her mother said, "Go in there and talk to my daughter." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Ask her. I don't know." And I went in, and I said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she started crying. And she said, "I was coming to church yesterday, and I was going to get saved." And said, "Company came in." I said, "Why do you think God sent me here?" I want to ask you, when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, they watched him. He came down. He came to this world with a miracle and left with a miracle. And the cloud received him out of their sight. But he said, "Tarry." They went down to the upper room. They tarried. They got so full of God. Every one of those disciples died a violent death but John. Old Doubting Thomas was drugged through the streets of Greece. And what strikes me, we've got to see something from God. Have you been to the upper room and ask God to fill your life? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your life. But those men were Christians. Yet he said, "I have a power within you." And they came out with the power of the Holy Ghost of God upon them. Bible said these are they that turned the world upside down. These are they. How did they do that? They went to the upper room and yielded their life to the Lord Jesus. Thomas didn't doubt anymore. The disciples were not afraid anymore. James had been killed, the pastor. But they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. How? Because they went to the upper room and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but God's still God. And for a few moments, if I can, they sing anything about the cross, it gets me. I'm just glad I'm born again. Had it not been for the cross, we'd all be a mess. I want to ask you this. Why do you have to be begged to come back to church Sunday night? Why do you have to be begged to do anything for the Lord after what he did for you? Amen. I want to give you a verse of scripture here, and I'll bring a brief message from the Word of God. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. A wicked king. And he forgot the dream. And he called the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans in. And they were going to kill them because they could not interpret the dream. But Daniel came and went before the king. I want you to look in verse number 26. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Daniel answered in his presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded Cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king? But I want you to notice verse number 28. But Daniel said, but there is a God in heaven. He got the three Hebrew boys and got down and had a prayer meeting. If you look in verse number 19, they bless the God of heaven. There is a God in heaven. I want you to listen to these seven words. These seven words. But there is a God. There is a God in heaven. If you listen to what it says, today, a lot of people, pastors are just reaching their wits in and people are dropping out and all the other things. But I want to tell you something. It'll change a church. If we realize the God of yesterday is the same God today. The God of back in the days of revival, God has not changed. Church, get a hold of the fact there is a God in heaven. Sometimes we say what we're going to do. There is a God in heaven. I want to tell you something else. If you have a problem and you're going through a trial, there is a God in heaven. We don't have to wring our heads and hang our heads and wring our hands because there is a God in heaven. All through the Word of God, sometimes you go, across this country, people are troubled and everything. But then it looks good for the child of God. And because Jesus Christ is coming again, and it is wonderful. But there is a God in heaven. Sometimes I have people say, preacher, what are you going to do? I said, there is a God in heaven. And God Almighty is still alive. If you read the Word of God, you'll find Moses found out that there was a God in heaven. Can you imagine Moses and he coming out of Egypt and he got down to the Red Sea and 2.5 million Israelites. And here comes Pharaoh and his army. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you realize that how wide it ought to be for them to cross that Red Sea? If you read the Word of God, they talked about they came down there. And if they walked across and two abreast, it would have taken a line of over 800 miles. And by the way, and to get them across, it had to be, if they had 5,000 abreast, it had to be at least that much for them to cross that wide. But we know God doesn't barely open up the sea. We know that God is able to open it wide enough for them to get across the sea. Not only that, God gave them a cloud by day and a fire by night. I thought about this some time ago, that that cloud by day, it kept them cool in the daytime. And at night, out there in the desert country, it would be cool. So they had central heat and air. God Almighty, there is a God in heaven. If you get to thinking about what the Word, did you realize? I'm just talking about, somebody said it took at least 15 tons of food every day for them to keep them from starving. That would be like 4,000 tons of food every day. I'm talking about there is a God in heaven. You understand what I'm talking about? And it would have taken two freight trains a mile long to bring in that much food. Not only that, do you know how much that would cost? About today, it cost about like $8 million a day. And did you know, I talk about water. Did you know it took at least, the bare necessities, 11 million gallons of water per day. You understand that? God, hey, there is a God. Hey, Moses found out there was a God in heaven. Not only that, you remember they had quail? Did you know it took at least 750,000 quail? That'll be for a family of five. This guy was out hunting one day and hunting quail, and they flew up and he jumped up and he said, they just kept flying. He turned to his buddy and said, "There goes a miracle." He said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, they're flying dead." But what I'm trying to say, God is, hey, there is a God in heaven. And for 14,000, and you know, God just barely get by. You think about the animals and everything else. What a great miracle. Moses found out that there was a God in heaven. Not only that, if you read the Word of God, how about the three Hebrew boys? Down in a fiery furnace. Hey, are y'all listening to me? There is a God in heaven, and they put him in there, and there was a fourth man in there. Some of y'all can't take a nap this evening. You think about that, and you get so excited about it. What I'm trying to say, hey, they found out there was a God in heaven. Think about Daniel. I read about this liberal guy. He said when Daniel was cast in a den of lions, he said the reason it didn't eat Daniel, they didn't have any teeth. So evidently, he would have gummed them to death. I'm just saying there was a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that I could go all through the Word of God and showing you there's a God in heaven. I was reading in the book of first chapter, in the book of Genesis, not the first chapter, but in the life of Joseph. Did you look at that today, and it says, and God was with him, and God was with Joseph, and God was with Joseph. You know what I think we ought to do? I think sometimes when you come to the house of God, you leave God here. But I want you to know you can live in the presence of God Almighty wherever you go. God lives. How many of you know you're saved? Raise your hand. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you leave church, why don't you tell people what the Lord has done for you? Christ in you. Thank God for that. There is a God when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a problem, when you get close to God, get cold in your heart. There's still a God in heaven. Hey, don't give up. Hallelujah. God still reigns. Hallelujah. Let me show you quickly in the Word of God. Give me another hour and I'll be through. There's a God in heaven who loves sinners. Amen. God loves sinners. I'm glad God loved those sinners because he saved me. Woo! There is a God. If you're here today and don't know Christ, he loves you. I've had people get away from the Lord, get cold. This says, does God still love me? I said, he never has quit loving you. Amen. God loves lost sinners. Let me show you something. I was pastoring in Chattanooga, and this young man said, my granddad is sick, and he's not going to live, and he's not a Christian. Well, you go over there, as on Sunday night, I said, I'll go tomorrow afternoon. I got over there. I said, Mr. Brown, your grandson said you're sick, and I come to see you. And I said, he said also that you're not a Christian. And here's what he said, preacher, I've been as mean as hell. I said, good, at least you know you're lost. When a lost person says, I'm as good as some of your church members, they don't feel lost. But once you feel lost, there's a difference. But he said, I've been as mean as hell. I said, good. I got on my knees in front of him. He couldn't get down. And I asked him if he'd like to be saved. So therefore he, I read scriptures over and over and over. Verse after verse, over and over and over. I said, now, Mr. Brown, I'm on my knees in front of him sitting in that chair. I said, would you like to receive Jesus? He said, yes, I would. And so when you got a burden for somebody, you can feel it when they get saved. The burden lifts. Right in the middle of my prayer, I felt that burden leave. But I did pray on a few more minutes. And so I got to, I said, Mr. Brown, did you receive Jesus? Don't ever ask anybody how they feel. Salvation is not feeling. Salvation is Jesus. Have you received Jesus? He said, yes, I have. I said, a minute ago, you said you'd been as mean as hell. He said, I was. I said, here's the good news. Every dirty, vile, filthy sin you ever committed are gone forever. Hallelujah. Hey, a preacher came to me and he said, have you ever thought that God forgave you of your sins but he don't remember what he forgave you for. I said, Baptists do. But God does not. God loves sinners. There is a God in heaven. I want to ask you this. How many of you know somebody that's not saved? Would you raise your hand? Wow. Have you been to them lately? Have you told them lately? Have you? How many of you know somebody dropped out of church? Raise your hand. You know somebody used to come to church or go to church? And have you been to tell them Jesus still loves them? I mean, we need to get out and begin to tell them that Jesus still loves them. Hey, there's a God that loves sinners. God, hey. God hath need of thee. We are the ones. We are the ones that he's depending on to reach out to those that are lost without Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, I have had seniors, and I'd be glad to be when I get to be a senior. But I was a pastor in Chilhowee, Virginia. Your dad preached up there for me. And anyway, her name was Martha Rector. Godly woman. She lived right up behind the church couple box. She and her husband in a mobile home. And so he couldn't get out. But Martha Rector would weep and cry. 75 years old. Weep and cry. She fell and broke her hip. And when he got able to come to church, she'd come in on a crutch. And they'd help her up the steps. So I didn't know she was getting out. They had an old two-tone green car, had to shift the gear. And one afternoon at the house, phone rang. I said, hello. I heard some, whoa. I said, who is this? Oh, this is Martha Rector. I've just led somebody to Jesus. She'd get out in an old car, shift the gear, get out. Just about every Thursday, my phone would ring. Whoa. 20 years later, I was in Kingsport, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Pastor said to me, we're going to have a nursing home service in the morning. You don't have to go. I'll pick up for lunch. I said, okay. And a lady came, a young lady who did in a white uniform, worked at the hospital. She and her husband sat right there. And she came up to me and said, I heard you talk about Martha Rector. Oh, I said, oh, Lord, what a woman. What a woman. I said, she's in that nursing home. I just turned to the pastor. I said, Brother Joe, I'll go with you. They picked me up and went over and got the little room in there where they were, all they gathered in for services like that. And I stand at the door and I said, Mel, where's Martha Rector? She said, preach, that's her right up in that wheelchair. Well, she loved me and Miss Joyce so much, but I went up there and put my hand in the air. She didn't know me. I walked in front of her. When she saw me, she started crying. I said to myself, what is it? She said, oh, preacher, I wish I could get out of here and go and win somebody to Jesus. That nurse said, preacher, everybody in that ward that was not saved is now. 95 years old! We got a story to tell, and it's about Jesus who loves sinners. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a God that loves sinners. There's a God who answers prayer. Thank God there's a God. How much do you pray? Several years ago, I asked three questions. I was sharing this with some of the fellows here this morning. And, I was just sharing dealing with this fact. I asked three questions. One, how many of you pray 15 minutes a day at home? How many of you read your Bible 15 minutes a day at home? How many of you share Jesus with somebody every day? How many men you might, somebody's going through a valley, somebody's sick, somebody lost, somebody out of church? I did that in not every church, but many of them. I'd say most, majority of the churches. But in that church, I say, raise your hand. I didn't get 25 in any church that prayed 15 minutes a day. I didn't get any, over 25 that read their Bible every day. I didn't get anybody that said they, shared that many people with Jesus every day. You see, I'm glad that the Lord, hallelujah, He is talking about God answers our prayers, and God will do these. He hath need. He hath need of you and for me by sharing Jesus Christ. I know I've shared this with you, but I was witnessing to a precious black lady over in North Carolina, and she take me there to Cracker Barrel. I said, ma'am, I said, are you a Christian? And she looked at me and she said, preacher, I'm in the fog. I said, what? She said, yeah, full of God, F-O-G. There's a God who answers prayer. The early church had no money to pay Peter's bill by being in jail, pay him out of jail. But they had a prayer meeting. Peter's asleep in jail. Well, how could he sleep in jail? Because if you read the Gospel of John, the Lord said, when you're old, you're going to die. Ain't no use worrying about dying when you're still young. The angel came, you know the story. Got down there. There's a bunch of people down there praying, and they were Baptists. I'll show you why. Peter knocked on the door. They said, Rhoda, see who that is. Rhoda means rose. Go out and see who that is. She came back and said, it's the voice of Peter. They said, it can't be. They're praying to get him out of jail, but y'all get that in a minute. But they prayed, and God released them. We need prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. You have not, because you ask not. May I say to you, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, Lazarus had died, and Jesus came and said, Jesus is here, and he calleth for thee. Can I say to you today that Jesus is calling you to serve him and to live for him and be faithful to him? There's a God in heaven who hath need. Here's what bit me while I go. I'm just old country boy, still am. But God, I want him to have all. Somebody said, when are you going to quit? I ain't. I'd have to stop, but I ain't quitting. God hath need of you and me. This could be the greatest jubilee. This church. Oh, what if it break out, brothers? What if it were to break out? And all of a sudden, people said, we can. There's a God in heaven, you that raised your hand and said, I know somebody's lost. You go over and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Just come. And in that jubilee, and you understand, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. You do, you ain't doing it. Oh, you know, I've just told you. God hath need of you. God hath need of you. There's a God hath had need of thee. But here's this. God, there's a God who supplies our needs. Hey, babe, I ain't talking about one person. That's my wife right there. Has God always supplied our needs? You're kidding. You pay the bills. When I got married, by the way, next this coming Saturday, 62 years. And that's hard when you're 39. I handed her the check, $50 a week. That's what I made when I first started. I said, you take care of the bills. And I can tell you, I can stand here and tell you, I don't have a whole lot. But you ain't going to take nothing to heaven with you anyway. Not a thing. Things that we live for down here, you ain't taking with you. The only thing you take with you is those that you've won to Jesus Christ in your faithful life. Here in the Word of God, hey, God will supply that need that you have. There is a God, can I say to you again, there is a God who promised. Now, in Philippians 4:19, people have been giving and sending. Apostle Paul, finances. Now, let me just stop here and thank this church for having me be able to go to church. But your monthly gift helped me to go to places I couldn't go otherwise. I don't ask for a dime. I've never asked you for a dime. I've never asked for any expense money. I live by faith. Look like I'm doing pretty good. God will supply your need. God will supply your need. And then I'll be through in a minute, but let me show you. I came in home several years ago, and Joy's going to get my laundry together, and I was going out, and she said, honey, we need X number of dollars. I said, how come? And she began to tell me. She said, what are we going to do? I said, Philippians 4:19. She said, yeah. Well, she got my clothes. They got the motel, and we write each other notes, and always down at the bottom, she put P.S., no blue lights. Y'all get that after a while. But anyhow, and then under it, Philippians 4:19. Nobody knew we had a need, me and Joy. And Jesus, I called her. Hey, babe. Called her about Wednesday, I think it was. I said, hey, babe. Oh, honey, you won't believe. I said, what? She said, you won't believe. I said, tell me what I won't believe. I might believe what I won't believe. She said, we got a letter from some of our friends in Greenville, South Carolina. It said, dear brother and sister Burgess, we feel like you had a great need. Nobody knew that but me and Joy. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, listen, it paid all of my bills and enough to have two Big Macs. Hallelujah. God said, I will supply all your need. Let me just tell you this. Let me just say to this. One day, we'll stand before Him and give an account of our life. You're here this morning, Brother Snyder, I'm going to let you give an invitation. I'm going to stand in a moment. And if you're not where you need to be, if you'd like to come down and pray for that person you raised your, you don't have to kneel. Just come and stand in their behalf. Call that individual's name. To those that are away from God, come down here and say, I don't have to go. No, I know you don't, but if you care enough, just come and stand. Whatever you need to do, if you got a burden, you got a need, there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's stand with their heads bowed. Brother Snyder's coming.
But there's a God in heaven. Maybe situations and circumstances have come that you know intellectually and theologically, you know there's a God that's still available. Sometimes circumstances may be getting in your way. Brother T.D. has spoken to our heart. While they play a song, would you just come? Obey the Holy Spirit. I know some of you already come. There's no limits on the number of time that we can have an invitation here. You obey the Holy Spirit. There's a God in heaven, and He cares about you. You have a need? Come on. The decision is one step. One step. The rest of the journey is coming to get what God has for you. It's one step. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed, and don't be afraid to trust Him. If you want to come, as He said, and pray for somebody that's on your heart, pray for the meeting, whatever you want to do, just come stand with us. We're going to have a word of prayer and we're done.